Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be back. Just a month and a half ago, and I told our staff, be sure to bring enough tapes and stuff, and you already bought out all the tapes the first service. And so there's some back there. I hope you'll get that. I want to say again how much I appreciate the worship here. You know, I'm in a lot of churches every weekend, and I don't say this every time. I'm for anybody with a juice harp, electric saw, whatever, to praise God. But you people are blessed more than you know. I thought that was fabulous this morning. I just loved it. Praise the Lord. And I love Jack Hibbs. I tell you, it's such a joy. Oh, yeah, right. But you have no idea what a joy it is to be with a pastor who you know is not only of like precious faith, but his mind about Israel and prophecy and his knowledge. It's just, you are blessed. And keep praying for him, because there are not many. Amos said there'd be a famine for the word of God. Boy, have we hit that time. So hang on to him. Keep praying for him. And he's as wacko as I am, so he needs a lot of prayer. But it's always a joy. I want to talk especially to you about that which is concerning many, many people right now. And that is what will happen to Israel. Doesn't look good, does it? Friday, in all the mosques of the Middle East, they have called for a day of rage. I don't know if you know what went on. You certainly didn't get it in the news. Yesterday was terrible. It was a huge battle yesterday. A day of rage from sundown Friday when they get out of their mosque until sundown on the Shabbat, in other words, to ruin the Jewish Sabbath. A day of rage in which they were encouraged to kill as many Jews as they possibly could. All the leaders of those mosques incited the people, and they said they wouldn't be satisfied till every last Jew in the world was eliminated. They said the day of rage will continue until Israel is no more. Arafat is not in control, people. He's lost control. And that's of concern to Israel as well. Though a terrorist and a man who doesn't have a lot of reasonableness about him, he loses his temper all the time. But he was kind of a buffer for Israel. The people behind Arafat are far more dangerous. And they're calling the shots right now, and Arafat can't seem to control this anymore. We shouldn't be amazed, though. This is what the Bible said was going to happen. God has been so kind to you and to me, given us these warnings. He didn't have to do any of it. We're getting close, and if your bags aren't packed, get ready. We're going home to be with the Lord. It's a tremendous time. So I want to answer the question. If you're taking notes, there'll be 12 things. What will happen to Israel? Not political, newsworthy items from CNN. No, we're talking about what the Bible says, the only accurate and reliable source of what is happening in our time. Go to Isaiah chapter 62. What will happen to Israel? 12 things that I hope will open up your mind, give you a panorama, and also answer some questions about what is currently taking place. In Isaiah 62, first this word of encouragement and comfort from our great God about Israel. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem or Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat or food for thine enemies. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say you to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, quoted in Revelation 22, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Will you join me, please, in prayer? Father, we ask in these few moments together, you'll help us to understand what your word teaches concerning Israel. And that we, Lord, will know that Israel is the apple of your eye, that they are the prophetic timepiece, that you are ruling everything in the future on the basis of what happens to those people. Thank you, Lord, for the promises in your word. Every one of them will be fulfilled. I pray, Lord, for those in our meeting who are not sure of their relationship to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, may they run to you. May they cry out to you. May they call on the name of the Lord that they may be saved. And God, I pray for believers who are not walking with you and know things are wrong in their lives. God, I pray this would be a day of repentance, a day of turning to the Lord, for Jesus will soon be here calling us up to be with him. And we thank you for our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What will happen to Israel? Number one, turn to Amos chapter 9, if for no other reason to find it. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 9. The first thing that we learn in God's word that is so important to what's happening now is that her presence in the land will never be removed. You say, David, what's happening to Israel, and what will happen? The Islamic world wants to get rid of it. They now believe they're on the threshold of accomplishing it. They believe the United States is a paper tiger. The United Nations has already considered it. Move Israel to some other part of the globe and settle the Middle East problem. It's a powder keg. It's a time bomb. It's about ready to explode. And it will bring all nations into it, and everybody knows it. Israel's presence in the land will never be removed. You will not hear that on the news or read it in the paper. But that's what God's word says. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I'll bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They've done that. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They've done it. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. That's happened in our time. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I've given them, saith the Lord thy God. And all God's people said, amen. You can count on the word of the living God. They will never be removed. And everybody's trying to do it right now. Number two, the second thing that will happen to Israel, her possession of Jerusalem will be severely challenged by all the nations of the world. Talk about reading your newspaper right out of the Bible. Zechariah, please, chapter 12. Jesus said, recorded in Luke 21, that after the destruction of Jerusalem, the Jews would be led away into captivity. That was fulfilled 40 years later. 1 million of them went into captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed. Under the leadership of the Roman governor Titus, who operated under the authority of Vespasian, the Roman emperor. Jerusalem was destroyed. Jews went into captivity, though there was a remnant, a Jewish presence in the land, left there, always been there, ever since. But Jesus said, they'll come back. That the possession of Jerusalem will only last until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In June of 1967, in spite of many Bible teachers teaching otherwise, Jerusalem becomes the possession of Israel. The times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, Jesus said. But the Bible also teaches us that in spite of possessing Jerusalem, that Jerusalem will become the worst burden the world has ever seen. If you got your Bible open to Zechariah 12, look at verse 2. Behold, I'll make Jerusalem, or Jerusalem, a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. Now watch the words carefully here. When they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Those exact words were in the newspaper this week. The Antifada uprising again. The territory is now saying, we're not going to stop till they're out of here. The siege against Jerusalem and against Judah. It's already begun. It's going to get worse. Verse 3. In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. You say, is there really an Armageddon coming? Absolutely. What is Armageddon all about? It's an attack against Jerusalem and Israel. They are attacking because Israel will not give up Jerusalem. Look down at verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Turn over to chapter 14. It is going to get serious. They will invade, and they will attack, and they're going to cause damage. Zechariah 14, 2 and 3. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women raped. You say, well, then they're all out of the city. It violates Amos 9. No, keep reading. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, but the residue, the remnant, the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. You say, why does the Lord let that happen? And the answer is that Israel will know once and for all. It is not by their military might and their military genius. It is only by calling on the name of the Lord that they can be delivered. In the moment when their survival is threatened more than any other time in their history, God Almighty, through the presence and person of the Messiah, will return and deliver them and destroy all the nations of the world who came against her. Yes, my friends, what will happen to Israel? One, her presence in the land will never be removed. And two, the possession of Jerusalem will be severely challenged. Imagine Israel's present prime minister agreeing with our president and United Nations leaders that the United Nations could take over the Temple Mount. Imagine it. That was a wake-up call to many Israelis. And you'll hear more before we're done about what's happening right now. Number three, the third thing. You say, what will happen to Israel? Go to Isaiah chapter 43. And that is that her people will continue to return to the land. I can't tell you how many people I hear who think that the return, what we call making Aliyah, that it's all over. After all, we've seen 6 million almost come back. There's over 1 million Arab residents, also full citizens of Israel. But we've seen all these people come back, over 750,000 from the Soviet Union and in the last 5 years. And people say, well, it's going to tail off now. No, it's not. No, it's not. You say, what's going to happen to Israel? I'll tell you, her people are going to continue to return to the land. Isaiah 43, verse 5 to 7. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. even everyone that's called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I formed him, yea, I have made him. Go please to Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6, it tells us of the branch, a name for the Messiah who will come, the Lord our righteousness. But look at verse 7, Jeremiah 23. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Go to Ezekiel, please, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, and look at verse 10. And I will multiply men upon you. Listen to these words. All the house of Israel. Even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited and the waste shall be builded. Verse 12. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. They shall possess thee. Thou shalt be their inheritance and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Verse 24. I will take you from among the heathen, the Gentiles, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Verse 28, ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Listen, folks, what will happen to Israel? Her people will continue to return to the land. You say, how many people could be in that land? Well, a good comparison would be Holland, about the same land area as the present state of Israel. Holland has 16 million people in it, and I think we don't have any problem. We're going to fill up Israel with the land, in the land, with the people of Israel, the whole house of Israel. They're going to continue to return to the land. Did you know that every time Israel gets threatened, as they are now, more people from around the world return under those conditions than when everything's all right? God is going to bring them back. Number four, the fourth thing that we know will happen to Israel, if you're in Ezekiel 36, her productivity will continue to increase. Some people on Wall Street and in the markets of the world are asking, how long can Israel keep this up? Their productivity is absolutely astounding. The new Silicon Valley, the computer magazines are saying, is no longer in the Bay Area of California. It's in Israel. And it's not just fruit, but agriculturally, it's astounding what they're producing. And we read here in Ezekiel 36, verse 8, but ye, O mountains of Israel, God talks to the mountains, you should not. Ye, O mountains, you talk to the plants, get right with the Lord. Amen? Ye, O mountains of Israel, you talk to the stars, you read your astrological table, get right with the Lord. God said, don't do that. Don't listen to them. Isaiah 8, read it for yourself at some other time than right now. Verse 8 says, they will yield, it'll shoot forth your branches, and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. Verse 11, they shall increase and bring fruit. Verse 30, I'll multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. Verse 34, the desolate land shall be tilled. Verse 35, the land that was desolate is like the Garden of Eden. Unbelievable. According to the Bible, the productivity of Israel will continue to increase. Number five, you say, what will happen to Israel in the future? Her place of worship will be rebuilt. I love that question. We get it all the time at Hope for Today Radio. I love this question. Are the Jews going to rebuild their temple? My answer is all the same. Is the Pope Catholic? Is the sky blue? Is the grass green? Yes, they're going to build it, and God tells you. He tells you in His Word. Her place of worship is going to be rebuilt. Now in Ezekiel 37, verse 26, if you'll turn there please, we read this, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary, my temple, in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen, the Gentiles, shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify or set apart Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. But that temple is going to be built by the Messiah. The description of it is in the last 9 chapters of Ezekiel. Amazing. It's going to sit on a mountain that will be exalted above all other hills on the face of the planet. There'll be topographical changes. It will come in the millennial kingdom of our Lord. Listen to me carefully. The Jews are going to build one before that. You say, how do you know that? We read in Revelation chapter 11, if you'll turn there, please. It also is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but we read in Revelation 11 that John was given a measuring stick to measure, it says, the temple of God. You know, even a temple that's not built by the Messiah is still a temple. It's still a temple of God. And it says, you'll measure the temple and the altar and them that worship therein. This is during the tribulation. The court, which is without the temple or outside the temple court, leave out and measure it not. Why? For it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city they'll tread underfoot 42 months or 3.5 years. Look, folks, every one of you has ever had a pastor who's been to Israel and the Temple Institute has heard about how they've made the vessels of the temple. They are ready for temple worship, etc., etc. A real interesting project was just completed this summer as Ukrainian Jews, out of one solid piece of gold that cost $1 million, made the menorah, the exact menorah that was in the temple. It's now on display in a bulletproof glass case in the Jerusalem sector, the Jewish sector of Jerusalem. I saw it with my own eyes. It's stunning. It was just completed. The truth of the matter is they're ready for it. But you know something? This temple is a dangerous one. It is not built by the Messiah. The Jews are going to build it in order to receive the Messiah. And the truth is they're going to receive a false one. According to 2 Thessalonians 2, this same man who makes an agreement with them in order for them to have this temple is going to break his contract and is going to go into that temple and desecrate it with his own presence and demand that the Jews worship him. Wow. Don't make any mistake about it. Her place of worship will be rebuilt. The current plan. And some of you know that Camp David Summit number 2 failed because of the temple. And that's why all the discussion about the Temple Mount. And the current plan, which they're still trying to enforce, is to allow a wall to be built on the north side of the Dome of the Rock. Our president, instead of saying a Jewish temple, made what I believe was a manipulative answer when he said, we'll build a Jewish synagogue. It was in the papers. Excuse me, synagogues are what we build when the Jews were in captivity. So the suggestion, you see, is very interesting, manipulative and seductive. But that may be what we're going to see is a Jerusalem temple. That's happening in front of our eyes, and I keep thinking to myself, how long is the Lord going to let this go on? The precious warnings that he's giving to this generation, allowing us to see this, it's like a wake-up call. Wake up, your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming. It's very important to understand. Number 6, what will happen to Israel? You won't like this, but I can tell you it's in the Bible. Her peace process will be a colossal failure. Some people say, well, you're only saying that now because it fell apart. No, I've been saying it all during the peace process when nobody liked it. God's Word said that. Jeremiah 8:11. They've healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Says it again in chapter 14, verse 13 and 19. Says it again in Ezekiel 13, 1 to 16, that the leaders are seducing the people to believe in peace. It says there are preachers of peace in Israel who are telling lies to the people. I mean, you can't read anything more contemporary. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The truth is, the peace process, according to the Bible, will be a colossal failure. Why? The only one who can bring peace to the Middle East is the Prince of Peace, the Messiah. And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end on the throne of his father David to order and establish it with justice and judgment forever. And the zeal of the Lord of armies will perform this. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. This is so important to understand. What have we learned so far? What will happen? What we're watching now, what will happen? Her presence in the land will never be removed. Two, her possession of Jerusalem will be severely challenged. Three, her people will continue to return to the land. Four, her productivity will continue to increase. Five, her place of worship will be rebuilt. Number six, her peace process will be a colossal failure. Number seven, the practice of sacrifices and offerings will be resumed by an unwanted agreement. Daniel 9, 27. Now, a lot of people, I believe, have misread Daniel 9, 27. Not everybody, but a lot have. It speaks of the coming prince, not the Messiah, but a false one, that he will confirm the covenant with the many, the majority in Israel, for a period of seven. Not days, not months, we presume years. And in the middle of that, he'll break his covenant and cause the offerings and the sacrifices to cease, which means a part of the agreement was to restore their temple sacrificial system. Now, why do I say that the practice of sacrifices by the Jews in a new temple that they will build will be resumed by an unwanted agreement? Daniel 9:27 says he confirms a covenant. I've looked up that Hebrew word in every one of its usages, and the word confirm is the softest translation we have. It normally means enforce. And I think we should translate it literally because it helps us to understand what's actually occurring. This leader, whoever he might be, world pressure will come upon Israel to enforce an agreement. And the carrot that's being waved in front of their faces is to restore the temple and its sacrificial system. Now, folks, I thank the Lord have preached this long ago, so people don't call me Johnny Come Lately or something else, because we all know now that's been the discussion of the last few months. Listen, folks, you can count on the Bible. The most up-to-date news you could count on is right here in the Word of God. People simply catch up with the Bible. So stay ahead by reading your Bible. Their practice of sacrifices and offerings, they're going to be resumed, but by an unwanted agreement. It'll be enforced on Israel. You do this or else. Here's the only way we will do this. And that's what they're doing now. Number eight. I don't like to tell my Jewish friends this. What will happen to Israel? Her persecution will intensify greater than any time in their history. You say you're kidding. No. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 15, when you see this guy, break his covenant, come into the temple, when this abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet is standing in the holy place, then get out of there and flee to the wilderness. Jesus said, then will be great tribulation such as they have never experienced. And unless those days be shortened, even the elect of Israel, God's chosen remnant, would not survive. Thank God the time will be short. Revelation 12 tells you Satan is behind it all, as he will persecute Israel and try to wipe her off of the face of the earth. The Hebrew prophets called the time of Jacob's trouble, and trouble it is. Yes, my friends, Jesus said they'd be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You see, he's behind it. He knows what's going to happen. Number nine. You say, what will happen to Israel? I love to tell you this. Her promise of survival will be fulfilled. When did God promise that Israel will never cease to exist as a nation? The answer is Jeremiah 31, 35 to 37. That is the new covenant by which you and I are saved. The night of the Passover when Jesus was with his disciples, before he went to the cross, taking that cup. You remember that? He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, the forgiveness of sins." The one demonstration that that will happen for you is that the seed of Israel will never cease to exist as a nation. The faithfulness of God is behind it. The faithfulness of God is behind your forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Why? Because He will never allow Israel to cease to exist. Now here's the problem passage. People argue over this. I've heard it. In fact, I got some mail this week attacking me again for this. It's okay. I'm used to it. Matthew 24, 34 and 35. Jesus said, "This generation will not pass away until all is fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." People say, "Well, that generation is 40 years. Well, the reason you're saying that is because the generation of Jewish people in the wilderness were there for 40 years. But I remind you that a generation of a man's life in the Bible is 70 to 80 years. Plus the fact that the word genios in Greek, translated generation, is referring primarily to a race of people. And plus the fact at the end of chapter 23 of Matthew, before he got into 24, he referred to Israel and Jerusalem as this generation. No, the Bible is not contradicting itself. It's talking about Israel. It's talking about the promise of the new covenant. This race of people will never pass away till all is fulfilled. Why would he even say that? Because he just got through saying that the tribulation is going to be so awful that if God didn't shorten the days, the elect wouldn't survive. Well, why are they going to survive? Because his word will never pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. And I say, glory to God. Praise God. Listen, folks, you can count on it. You say, what's going to happen to Israel? This enormous, you can see the persecution building, even verbally, and the hostile attitudes of the United Nations over 100 censures in the last couple of months. In the United Nations alone, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And not one time do they condemn the terrorist opposition. Listen, folks, wake up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. The truth of the matter is her persecution is going to intensify, and it's going to get worse. But number 9, as we just said, is her promise of survival will be fulfilled because God's word is at stake. Number 10, the 10th thing that will happen to Israel is her protection from a multi-nation attack will be guaranteed. You say, what did you say? I said a multi-nation attack. The Bible teaches that all nations of the world, it appears, stimulated by some nations that are currently strongly Islamic, mentioned in the Bible, that there is going to be an attack. Why, the whole Islamic world is calling for it right now. Saddam Hussein is pushing Abdullah of Jordan to move his troops to let them cross the border so he will be adjacent to Israel. The problem in Islam is severe. We know there are two branches, Shiite, like Iran, and Sunni, Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's never attacked Israel, but they financed many of them. The truth is the Sunnis, if you know your Islamic teaching, are responsible for the holy sites. But they have never attacked. You see, Saudi Arabia is in a bad condition here. They have shown favoritism towards the West, and yet daily and weekly in the Saudi royal newspaper, they call for the death of Israel and the great Satan, the United States of America. They have Mecca and Medina, and they say Jerusalem is their third holy site. They've gotten real strong on it. Egypt doesn't know what to do, neither does Turkey. They've already made economic gains by their relationship to Israel. But now we read in the papers this week that both of them are thinking about canceling those economic contracts with Israel to prove to the rest of the Islamic world that they will support a holy jihad against Israel to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. Listen, folks, when the chips are down, Islam must get rid of Israel. Why? Because the Islamic teachers say over and over again, if Israel continues to exist, then Islam is not true. That's not my words, that's their words. Well, Islam better wake up. Israel is still here, and therefore Islam is not true. It's a false religion based on a false god from ancient Mecca, plurality of gods named Allah. He is not the true God. The true God is the Lord God of Israel. Bible says so. This is very serious, folks. We read in Zechariah 12 that God, through His Messiah, will destroy all nations that come against Israel. Yes, they are going to attack Israel. But her protection is guaranteed by God. Number 11. Many people think that because we have a pro-Israel stance that somehow we justify and approve everything Israel does. That is far from the truth. I believe we earn the right to say what we say to people. You know that? A lot of people just spout off and they don't even know the circumstances. We earn the right, and our loyalty to Israel is unquestioned. But the truth of the matter is we also speak out against when she's wrong. Is Israel wrong? You bet. Her adoption of Western values, her immorality, pornography, abortion, homosexuality, her refusal to repent, her secularism that dominates Tel Aviv, looks like any Western city and has all of its vices, her toleration of the Russian mafia, drugs. Let me tell you something, Israel needs to repent just like America. Apparently all we care about is to make Medicare and Social Security secure and to make sure we got prescription drugs and that our stock portfolios are still going up, and that somehow we can keep going to the mall. Apparently that's all that matters to Americans, and many in the Islamic world believe that. They call us a paper tiger. They believe that the United States, in spite of our many treaties with Israel, will not stand for Israel in the crisis. And I'm afraid they may be right. Why did this week, as many of you have already heard, did volumes of Islamic money come onto the side of certain people running for presidency and for the Senate? Now they're trying to get out of it since somebody exposed it, and they're trying to say, we're going to return the money. Right. Why is Islamic money in the millions pouring into these? I'll tell you why. Because it was on the internet from the Muslim sites. You know who they don't want to get as president? They didn't even mention the name of George Bush. They mentioned Dick Cheney. Why? Because they knew about his involvement as Secretary of Defense in the Persian Gulf War. And they have never forgiven him. That's the last person they want in office. And why did they dump so much money into New York? As the First Lady continues to try to deny what she did in the Middle East. Instead of visiting Israel, she went to all the Islamic centers and called for the establishment of a Palestinian state, and now is lying that she ever said about it to confuse the Jewish people, because without the Jewish vote, she won't get elected. Why did all this money come into her campaign? You say, boy, you better watch it. Yeah, right. I'm going to die on time just like you. But having said that, let me tell you something. I think it's wrong for any Israeli soldier to shoot a child. But if he shot a gun at him, it's another issue. We have many, many violations of God's word in Israel, and they need to be condemned, my friends. Please understand, because point 11 is very important. What is going to happen to Israel? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Her purification is going to take place. If you think every last Jew is going to escape this, you're mistaken. Turn to Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. And now it's time to get serious with what God said. we better get right with the Lord. God is not going to wink at man's refusal to repent, even in Israel. In Zechariah 13, 8 and 9, it says, "It shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein, and I'll bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it's my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." Listen, folks, the purification of Israel is going to take place. In Malachi 3, verse 2, "Who may abide the day of his coming?" Verses quoted in Revelation. "Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge or cleanse them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." God is not mocked. Be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. God is a God of holiness and justice, and that means for Israel as well. Her purification will take place. Ezekiel 20 says, "All the rebels in Israel will be cut off by Almighty God." He is not fooled. And I thank God for every Jewish and Christian organization working with Israel that's calling on the people to teshuva or to repentance, to get right with the Lord. Which brings me to number 12. The 12th and final thing we want to say today about what will happen to Israel is her preparation for the Messiah will be accomplished only by the Holy Spirit. The same way you and I are saved. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6 speaks of the Messiah, the branch who will come and establish righteousness. But Zechariah 12, 10 says that God will pour out the Spirit of grace, giving them what they don't deserve, and of supplication, causing them to cry unto God. And they will look on him whom they have pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And in that day there'll be a fountain open up for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for cleansing. Oh, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit has been working ever since the New Testament began, bringing a partially blind Israel to the Messiah. I'm thankful it was partial and not total. I'm thankful my dear Jewish father came to believe in the Messiah. I'm thankful that God by the Holy Spirit led me as a young man to believe it. I'm thankful that God worked in my wife's life and brought her, in spite of her Jewish background, partial blindness, yes, but not all. And I'm thankful we came to know the Messiah. And I see Jews all over the world turning to the Messiah. Why, the Messianic movement in Israel calls it out of control. 76 congregations now, not run by Christian missionaries, Israelis, who have come to believe in the Messiah. God is preparing his people, and the Holy Spirit is moving and working, but it's going to be a great movement of the Spirit of God at the end of Armageddon, the end of the tribulation, as when the Messiah comes to deliver them, they will look on him. And they will know he has been to your town before. He is Yeshua. He is Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. And there will be a great movement of Israelis to turn to the Lord. The hope of the world, the hope of every last Jew and Gentile is the Messiah of Israel. Yeshua said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There is no other way. There aren't many roads that lead to God. There's only one. It's through his blessed Son. The God Almighty, the Bible says, reconciled the world through the Messiah. When he died on the cross, he provided the opportunity for every last man, woman, and child to be saved. But you must repent. You must confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you. You must call upon the Savior. You must say, "Lord Jesus, you are the only answer. And I put my faith, my trust, my future all in you. You're the only hope of the world." The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is no time to be playing church. This is a time to get right with God. Jesus is coming. Will you look with me to the Lord in prayer? Let's pray. Father in heaven, our hearts are grieved as we see many, many believers falling asleep spiritually. Many preachers and teachers who once told the truth, now compromising, a great movement against the people of Israel. Lord, we do not commend them for their wickedness, but we stand with them in their hour of need. And we know that soon and very soon our blessed Lord Jesus will return, and there'll be no time to change our minds. It'll happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And Lord, I know that when we die, if you should delay your coming, and many of us die physically, you tell us we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the hope we have in you. And Lord, we want every last man, woman, and child to go with us. I pray there wouldn't be a person in this auditorium left when Jesus comes. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, please don't look around. Pray for yourself or somebody else. As I interrupt my prayer for just a moment, I wonder how many of you say, David, you know what? Something's not right in my heart. I know it. You're not sure of your relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to call on God right now. I won't embarrass you or call on your name. And though no one on either side of you knows what you're doing, God does and you do. It's not everything, but it is a start right where you are. I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand up to God and say, God, please help me. Yes, God bless you all over the house. God bless you, many of you. It isn't important, I see it. It's important you do it. Just put it right back down. But when you lift your hand up to God, you're saying, God, I got to get straightened out. Yes, many of you again. God bless you over here and over there and back and front. God loves you so much. Yes, God bless you. Just put it right back down. The Lord wants you to know Him more than you want it. He will forgive you. It doesn't matter what junk's in your life. You say, you don't know how my sin is piled up. Yes, just put it right back down. It's between you and God. You say, you don't know how much sin. Listen, the Bible says if your iniquities are to the highest heaven, His mercy is still higher. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. You can have a fresh start right now. You can get right with God right where you're sitting. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be delivered. Yes, God bless you. Lots of young people, God bless you. Yes, all over, praise the Lord. I can't even see them all. But God sees every one of them. God sees your heart. He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. Turn to Him now, please, before it's too late. Father, we want to thank you and praise you. You've made things so clear. It makes us wonder how people can be so blind to it. You've been so tolerant and gracious to allow us to see a lot of things that we don't have to see. Your warnings to this generation are incredible. Lord, I pray for all these precious people, too many to count, raise their hands. Lord, you know every one of them. You know their hearts. You know what they're thinking right now and what they need. And I thank you, Lord, that when we call upon you, you will answer. You are near to the brokenhearted. And God, I pray that they'll do anything possible and everything possible to get straightened out with you, to find out from the Bible what it is we're supposed to believe. Thank you, Lord, that you love us like you do. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. On the back tape tables, book and tape outside, there's a little white decision card. Please print carefully. It's very helpful. We'll send you a free booklet, a Bible study by mail. It's all free. No one will call on you. It doesn't cost you anything. If you'd like it, just fill out the card. And also, as it happens every week here, there's a wonderful group of people who love to pray with you right now. In the prayer room right after the service, may God open your heart. Pastor Jack.
Let's all stand, shall we? If you made that decision this morning, if you're visiting from some other area, or you're here locally, make sure next Sunday you attend a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, preaching church and get committed to Jesus Christ. Many decisions this morning. Praise the Lord for that. We encourage you tonight to gather with us at Chapel Creek Book and Coffee at 6 o'clock as we'll be in the study of 1 Corinthians. And then Wednesday night we'll be getting back together here for a time of communion with John and Andy Borber leading us in worship together. Let's sing a song of praise unto the Lord, shall we?